We're on the road. Where transportation goes, community grows. Welcome to On the Road with the MTA. And welcome to another edition of On the Road with the MTA. I'm Jay Gibbons, alongside Stephanie Kay from the MTA.
That's me, and thank you, Jay. And I have to say, I have to give you so much credit because people can't see you, so they don't realize that you broke your hand in five places, but you're still here doing the podcast.
Yep, I'm the one-handed bandit.
Cool hand Luke.
Maybe I'll take that.
Well, the thing is, well, I thought you're either dedicated, or you love a podcast, or you're just stupid. But you know,
or,
I'm teasing.
But as the saying goes, the show must go on.
There you go. I'd call it dedication that you love the podcast. So thanks for being here and doing that. Couldn't do it without you, buddy. So we're glad you're here. And we're so glad, too, to be able to welcome back the first guest we ever had in the first episode. It's an amazing person, the CEO of MTA. And he's more than just that, too. This man has won so many awards. I have like two pages full of awards. But the ones I'm most proud of is like the Hometown Health Hero. He won the Jack Hamady Good Scout Award. But he's so community oriented because he's also the chairman of the Catholic Charities, and I've seen him do so much for so many people. 40 years in the business here, the building relationships with our partners. Thank you for being here, you most important man, Ed Benning. Thank you. Absolutely.
That's quite an introduction.
It's so true. I said, while working on the radio and I had a chance to interview you, I've met community leaders and I've met celebrities and I've met people who became very good friends, and you are all of the above. Well,
thank you.
And I'm likewise. So proud to work for you.
Appreciate
too.
It. Oh, thank
absolutely.
You.
Jay and I were just talking about if you're going to work somewhere, you want to work somewhere that does so much for the community and for a boss that has passion. Yeah. And you have your, will you tell them what you said off the air? Because you said it so well.
Well, it's nice to work for somebody who has their finger on the pulse of the future. And it's just like Steve Jobs once said that you want to keep your eye on where the puck is going and not where it's been. And you are very much like that. And that's why what I like about working here is because I get to be part of that innovation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I've seen you make history with things and innovation that you've done in the past. And I know you have a transformation of the transportation. So tell us what we can expect with the changes that MTA has in mind.
Well, I think first where we may want to start is over the last 10 years. You know, we had a very old fleet of dirty diesel vehicles that we operated. Some of them as many as nearly 40 years old.
Wow.
And over the last 10 years, we have transformed our fleet to a first-class alternative fuel fleet. And in that, we have hydrogen, compressed natural gas, and propane. And so over this 10-year period, we've been able to move about 98% of those old diesels out. And we're now operating on what is alternative fuel, mm-hmm. and very important, much cleaner in the community, much better for us, much better operation, and clearly a better future. But we can't rest on our laurels. We have to get ready for what's ahead of us. And I'll talk just for a moment about the disruption that's taken place in our industry as a result of the virus. And as we all know, you know, we talk about the new normal. Well, the new normal mm-hmm. for us is everything from face masks for the drivers, for the passengers. It's personal temperature monitoring when you come in the building for all of our staff, all of our employees. We're putting in self-loading wheelchair securements so that there's not an interaction between the driver and the passenger. And we have touchless fare systems that will be in play by latter part of 2021, which is historic for us.
Yes.
We've been working on this for years, and it'd be great to see that happen. But we're also limiting our access to our facilities. So, you know, today we're operating with Zoom, town hall meetings, virtual meetings, conferencing, everything with online training and many other things with limited classroom attendees today. And so we're learning how to work in this new normal. But, you know, with that also comes remote work. And many people today can understand that having employees working remote is the new normal for us. Mm-hmm. And we as an organization, I know in the past people have mentioned it to me, and I often thought, okay, which departments, which employees, how do you work through it? Well,
sure.
We've experienced it firsthand, and we continue to do that. And so we've learned an awful lot as a result of the pandemic that will change the direction of our organization and where we go from going forward.
Sure.
And so what we are seeing today in our industry is reduced ridership, less people riding on our big buses, reduced revenue. And there's people who do have that fear of riding or social distancing. But we've addressed all that, and we're seeing our increases in our ridership on a daily basis. People are coming back. People are using the services. But we have considerations and concerns that we must address. And what do we do when nationally, prior to the pandemic, our industry was seeing 10 to 20% reductions in ridership around the country? Really? Well, what caused that? Well, it was brought on by two things. Low cost of fuel. You can purchase gasoline today for your automobile. And today I noticed that was $1.70 and
so
$1.70 a gallon. And also there's a high utilization of new on-demand services. These are services people would recognize as Lyft, Uber, things of that nature. They're called transportation network companies. And transit in many parts of the country today have looked to these providers to provide part of their service. Well, we've really went a different direction as an organization. We have not partnered with the TNCs. We have not asked them to do the first mile, last mile. What we've done is we've transformed our organization to provide a more specialized delivery of services, on-demand services. And so when we look at the 2020 to 2030, that 10-year period. And anymore, if you can plan 5 years, you're doing well because things are changing so fast. But we have to take a look at, you know, what's going to happen over this period. Well, if you think about people working remote, we're not unique in that regard. The use of office space could very well be a thing of the past in many organizations. So you have all these large structures that you have office space that will be empty, parking lots that will not be needed, and people working from home. And so what does that mean to our industry? Well, you know, those office buildings could become apartment complexes with an office built in, and they could become, you know, new housing. If people are working from home, will they want two or three cars? As many people have two or three vehicles. Perhaps they may have one vehicle or no vehicle. So that means that we have to prepare for this new world that we're going to be living in. And it's here. It's upon us right now because many people are working at home. And even after we're past the pandemic, it appears in talking to many of the business leaders that the new reality is people will be working from home. Many will be working from home. So we have to have services that will address the needs. If people only have one car or no car, they're going to want on-demand service. That means you pick up your phone, you use an app, and you have someone respond. And there's no reason why public transit cannot do that. It's just a matter of preparing ourselves for this new reality. And so very much in that arena, we will be addressing that by bringing in more small vehicles, becoming much more prepared. The end of 2021, we anticipate rolling out an on-demand service in a project area, in a pilot area. Often you want to try these things before you scale up and go big. You want to go small first. And so we'll be doing that. But let's think about the cars. You know, the fact that gasoline is very cheap today, it tells me that that's not where we want to be in the future. So we're going to move to electric or hybrid vehicles in the upcoming period. And when you're operating today nearly 200 cars, and I anticipate that we'll double that over the next 5 years, we are going to look at electric hybrid vehicles for those needs. In the area of our buses, which are compressed natural gas, we very much see the next step would be for us to move to hydrogen or to electric vehicles. We've had 10 years experience with hydrogen. We know it how it works. We've set a standard, and I'm convinced that it works extremely well. With a hydrogen vehicle, you basically have an electric vehicle. And so we will be going after new hydrogen zero emission vehicles as part of that future. And so other things that we'll need to address as an organization, obviously technology, to use technology for efficiency and effectiveness will be very important to us. As people want to use public transit at a higher level, they're going to want a very high level of technology to be able to interact with us. And so That's going to be extremely important. The I think we need to identify opportunities to deploy these different levels of service, and we are going to repurpose our facilities to bring down the cost. And we'll be partnering with others in the community that may have a need for a building, but they don't need exclusive use. And so we'll look for partnering. And so the one area that we'll be spending an awful lot of time in is customer service and getting our word out and finding ways to communicate with the public at a level which they feel great about public transit, understand it, and they're highly educated on how to utilize it. And we'll be looking to the community to help us to determine what are the next steps, where should we go with the service. Across the country today, organizations, many are sitting back watching to see if things return. We're not going to be there. We're going to be a leader, because without it, we're going to be left behind.
You're so intelligent that way. He always sees, like you said, he sees the need and you fix it.
You see the new normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, and it's sometimes like when you think about a president of the United States or somebody who's really wealthy, you think they don't understand the little people's needs.
Yep.
And you'll hear the tax cuts the president understand might be a family of four or something of that nature. You, to me, are like the president of our area here in MTA. And you still see the needs of these people that might you maybe you never met, or you do meet them every day, I should say, because you're so connected in the community. To Nate, you were just talking about these people that need to get to the grocery store and back, and he was thinking about their needs and how we can make that fit with what we're doing with the transportation. You're always so thoughtful and passionate, and I've seen you deal with people in Washington, and I've seen you deal with a little sweet little lady in Burton that she just didn't like the fact that the bus was going down her street, and you handled each one of those with the same level of importance. You make everybody feel so important and so special and so valued, and that's huge. I've seen you stop to talk to passengers and to maybe community leaders or to our employees. You give them all your equal time and passion. That's huge in a boss, and we're so glad we have you in place, and the community is so grateful that we have you as well. Yep. So thanks for all these ideas and what you're doing. And I know you keep everybody safe too. You went to a lot of expense to put plastic in between the front and back seat, along with the masks and along with the tempers being taken, and one person per car. I mean, you thought about these things way in advance when others don't even have the equipment they need to do that.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's really all about the people. Everything we do is about the people. And when we focus on making sure that we're here for the people and their needs, then you can start developing some of these services to understand it's about the quality of life in our community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an essential service, people often have nowhere to turn. And we have to understand that we are the alternative. And, you know, it's even like the people aging in place. Many of them are expecting their children or neighbors or others to be able to be their conduit to get to the things they need, whether it's grocery shopping or medical transportation. So if we have people aging in place and they can look to public transit and understand that public transit can be the answer and they feel confident in that, mm-hmm. they'll use it at a very high level. And we're seeing that. You know, we bounced back in May with our Rides to Wellness. We came right back to where we were at when we shut down,
really?
Which was amazing.
Yeah,
I look for us to double those numbers in 1 year. And,
wow.
And, you know, we have many new partners that want to partner with us. And what's surprising is I was on the phone yesterday with a group from Washington, and what was surprising to me is the number of people on that call that are still talking about things that, you know, I hope it works for them. And yeah. That they're just not making the decisions they need to make to move forward. And it's okay to ask others to pick up some of that activity to maybe improve upon what you're able to provide. Unfortunately, I think sometimes we're doing that as the first step in the country, and I don't think that's a way to give good, great public transit.
Well, you are number one in the medical transportation in the entire yes. country. And I know Washington's called you many times to find out what your plan is, how are you doing this? They want to know, from example, what you're doing. They want to get your ideas.
Absolutely.
And you share them with them. That's very impressive. I don't think people realize just how much you do. And since I've been working with you, I see how much you do in a day. And it's just so very impressive. And what I love about you, too, is that you will hire people with disabilities. And you just hired Ashley Seymour, who we had on our podcast before. Cute little girl, just real sweet. And she was born totally blind. And you've just given her a job in customer service, and I love working with her with this area because she cares about the people as well that she can relate to, because she's used our services to get to everywhere she needed to go, her therapy, her volunteering, her work. And now she's going to be after hours. You thought about that. What if somebody is stranded after hours, or they're trying to get someplace, or where their vehicle is? We have that going on now. So instead of just 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 here, after 5 o'clock, she'll be answering the phones and she'll be saying, where are you? We'll come and get you. We'll make sure it happens. I've seen you leave your desk and go pick somebody up when they need a ride. Who's actually done that? Yes.
Absolutely.
So yeah, MTA is... stands for, man, that's awesome, because we just really appreciate everything they do.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, it's we have the innate ability to make a difference in people's lives.
And
when we think about that, we can do some special things. It's when we take the easy way out and we're not creative and we just say, this is vanilla. We hope you like vanilla. And we go, no, we're going to have a lot of flavors. And I can tell you, as long as I'm here, we're going to have a lot of flavors.
And so. I've seen that, and you are right about that. You fix these problems, and you do it so creatively. I mean, the innovation that you have is just beyond me, and I just love working with you to help that implement your plans.
Well, one thing that helps me, and I don't share this too often, but one thing that helps me is my background is in the private sector, and I run automotive plants. My family owned businesses. I've owned businesses. And when you approach a public agency with a private sector attitude, and you try to get the greatest outcome, you can do some special things.
Yeah. Well, that experience definitely helps you bring that to the table and make it successful, because it's pretty darn impressive. I know you just do so much out there. And yeah. I can't even, the list goes on and on. I don't know where to begin to say how much you do for people. But I've seen you take somebody from a small area up, like it's all the way up, and make a difference in their lives. You made a difference in our lives, giving us a job working with the community.
Yep.
So thank you for that. And you care about people. You truly do.
Thank you.
And that's quite nice. So that's what we can look forward to. Anything else you can tease us with? Or we're going to have like our own Uber, right? It's going to be MTA's Uber.
I think the idea of autonomous vehicles is coming. And we're looking at some possible applications for that in some areas where it may be a good pilot for us to try it out. But recently, I've been involved in conversations about autonomous vehicles, autonomous markets, supermarkets or stores.
Yes.
Autonomous offices. The use of fuel cells for in your home, and the transformation from our use of public transit over to using fuel cells and use that experience to power homes and things. So it's pretty amazing what's taking place. Give you an example, many of these over-the-road drivers that drive these big rigs, they have on board, people don't know this, they have their computers, they have, you know, they watch TV, everything, they have their sleeper cabs. And they need a power source. And so one of the things has been developed, and I was actually had the opportunity firsthand to see this small fuel cell that would take care of all that for these drivers. And you'd be amazed. You know, it's kind of like when we first had our calculators, they were huge.
You're right.
Now it's on your watch.
I remember those.
Everything's my whole computer's on my phone.
Now
I can do it. Yeah.
Now it's on your watch.
Yeah, really?
So
you're right.
One of those too.
Yeah. So, you know, soon we'll see a fuel cell under the seat of a car.
Wow.
And we'll have hydrogen fuel cell vehicles that operate on the street just like any other vehicle.
That's impressive. And if it's going to happen, you're going to do it first. I know you are. And that's why I have thousands of other agencies. You won, under your leadership at the MTA, you won the 2019 Outstanding Urban Transit System Award. That's huge.
Yes, thank you.
And that's up from thousands of different agencies.
Yes.
And you have a master's degree. You were so educated, but you also are a master gardener. Yes. I don't think people realize that either. I'm telling some secrets
there
on
you. There you go. One of my hobbies.
I know.
Yes.
And I know next week we're going to be talking to Marie Stewart, who is in charge of hiring. And you hire disabled, you hire veterans, you hire seniors. Mm-hmm. They make the best drivers, too, because they're just great workers.
Absolutely.
And what are you looking for when you want somebody to come to maybe apply for to be a driver? What are you looking for?
Well, you know, first off, we want people with pleasant personalities,
great
driving records, and people that really want to help work with the public. And that's so important because you can get a misfit. You know, if someone's coming just for the pay, it's generally not going to be a great outcome.
Yeah.
But many of our drivers will tell you that they came here, especially in our rides to wellness, they came to work because they really want to help people. They understand how important that is. And the veterans, same way. Veterans are so underserved. And we've been able to address service for the veterans that, you know, they don't have to worry when they need to go somewhere. I had a neighbor that had a requirement to go to Saginaw. He happened to have leukemia. And he would go to the Veterans Hospital in Saginaw, and he hoped that his son could get the day off to take him or someone. And I asked him one day, you know, if what's it cost you to go there? And he said, well, they're charging me $70 each way.
Oh, my land.
And I said to him, you know, I know you don't have that kind of money. He said, no, I don't, but I have to go. And I said, well, this is ridiculous. We need to do something about this, you know. And so there are many people like him.
And you made that happen. Now the veterans get 6 free rides a month, all health and wellness. They can get to the grocery store, to the pharmacy, to the doctor's office, even to the veterans hospital. And they'll wait with them. And on the way home, they'll stop by their pharmacy and the grocery store and get them back home again. To me, that is just the best gift you could give. That's wonderful that you're helping the veterans like that.
Yeah, thank you.
So, all right. Well, next week, if you want to work with Ed like we do, and we are so glad to be able to do that, next week we're going to be talking with Marie Stewart, and she'll tell you exactly what you can do if you'd like to be hired at MTA. You can always visit our website, too. It's mtaflint.org for more information. And thank you so much again for listening to our episode here of On the Road
You've
with
MTA. You've
been
listening to On the Road with the MTA. For more information on our services and community outreach, visit us online anytime at www.mtaflint.org. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The MTA, your community, your connection, your way.